OTB AM, Ireland's only sports breakfast show. Get the full show straight to your phone by subscribing to the OTB AM podcast wherever you get yours. The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Gallen Quinlan, you're standing by.
Morning, lads. How are you?
How are you getting on? A nuisance, Brian O'Driscoll described Jazz.
Oh, Lord.
I don't know, was he talking about during your playing days or afterwards?
On the field or off the field. It could have been both. But, I think that bit of competitiveness at the breakdown and stuff is going to be a real key area at the weekend. And it's an area that we've come up second best in the last couple of seasons against Wales. You go back to, we haven't won there since 2013. And I think the likes of Tipperick, Faletau, Lydiate, who looks like he'll come back into the team, have caused us a lot of problems there. So it's a worry and it's a concern. And go back 2 years ago and Wales beat us in the Grand Slam convincingly. They controlled the game, frustrated Ireland and really upset the flow and momentum, particularly in their attack, and caused them an awful problems. And they were all a nuisance at the breakdown to Ireland. So that's an area that's really, really important on Sunday.
Yeah, so talk to us then about the back row. And like, there's every sort of combination, every name being mentioned for every different position, depending on what paper you read. And even listen to Brian, there's a different combination again. What's your view of the strongest back row? What is your strongest back row of available players now for this game?
They're all great players in their own right, and there's a lot of depth there. I think the backer that would have started would have been standard at six, Caelan Doris at eight, and Peter O'Mahony at seven, which, you know, I suppose Josh Van Der Fleer, Will Connors would be frustrated that there's a traditional six playing, would have started at seven. He did so in November in the Autumn Nations, and I think his form has been really good, Peter O'Mahony. And there just seems to be a bit more spark to that back row. Doris has come in, and I think he's been fantastic. He offers real variety in attack, ball carrying ability, and a presence at the breakdown as well. And he's been really, really good there. And I think Stander, he's complemented Stander. He's given Ireland an extra ball carrying player in the back row, and both Stander and himself have seemed to work very well together. And, you know, O'Mahony's line out, and then he's very good at the breakdown himself. He wouldn't be as quick as Josh Van Der Fleer or Will Connors, or have that kind of groundhog presence and ability to hunt down halfbacks and particularly the out halves and put pressure on them. But it's worked to this point for Ireland, and it seems to have got got Stander and Doris playing really well. Doris is gone, Stander goes back eight. The one thing I probably didn't want to happen was Peter O'Mahony to go back six and Josh Van Der Fleer to come back in seven. And it's not their ability to perform. They're outstanding players and they could play really well. I hope they do. But I just think Tipperick and Faletau, they have a thing in their heads that they can beat that back row. They've done it a couple of times before. They physically dominated and you know, for the last, in 2017 and 2019, they put a huge emphasis of getting at Conor Murray and Johnny Sexton and slowing Ireland's ball down and really being a nuisance there. And, you know, they're brilliant players themselves. Faletau and Tipperick are two British and Irish lines. Dan Lydiate has been in a Lions tour as well. He's going to come back in, as I said. And I just think it gives them a little bit of an edge. I would have liked to have just left O'Mahony at seven for this game. It's a horses for courses thing, and bring in Rhys Ruddock or put Tadhg Byrne in the back row. It just would have put the Welsh thinking a little bit that it's not the same group that we've beaten before.
Is that down to specific skill set? Is it down to O'Mahony? Is it down to Van Der Fleer? Who exactly are you targeting on the Welsh side of things that gives you cause for concern?
Tipperick, I think he's an incredible player. He's been so consistent for Wales, and there's, you know, Josh Navidi is another one. Josh Navidi and Tipperick were the six and seven 2 years ago. They were effectively two open sides. they destroyed us at the breakdown. Navidi had something like 27 tackles and a lot of carries as well in that game. And it's the effectiveness of those tackles. It's not just a soak tackle where somebody gets over the gain line, they tackle. It's a type of tackles they're putting in. They're holding you up. They're slowing the ball. They're counter-rucking. They're getting hands in. And it's just, it can get at Conor Murray and they have an ability to do that. And I just, it's not a physical thing that O'Mahony, Stander and Van der Fleer will take a backward step on Sunday. I just think the Welsh guys will think, well, we've done this on a number of occasions against Ireland, particularly in the games in Cardiff. It's incredible when you come to Dublin, Ireland seem to cope with it a lot better. But 2 years ago in that Grand Slam game that Wales won a Grand Slam and the 2 years previous in 17, they just caused us all sorts of problems there. And because they're in such a precarious position of under so much pressure, they're going to try and get an edge physically in Ireland. And I really hope that's collectively as an Irish forward pack, and I'm sure Paul O'Connell will have gone through the team with this, and Andy Farrell will, and Simon Easterby as defence coach as well, will be putting an onus on the Irish team to step up, to be physical. We're down a ball carrier.
Sorry to interrupt. Can I ask you on that, right? Like you mentioned the Paul O'Connell point. Is there any of it that's line out related, given what we've seen over the last number of games?
Yeah, it is. It's an attitude around them all. It's the execution of the line out there. That's the technique stuff, the timing, the throw, the type of ball they're going to win to hopefully launch a bit of attack and get the ball into Sexton's hands much quicker. Hence, get it into Gary Ringrose and Robbie Henshaw's hands quicker so they can run at the Welsh back line and try and get a bit of width in the game. So, of course it is. It's down to attitude and it's down to, you know, you can be fired up going into these games, Adrian, but you've got to deliver as a unit and you've got to set the tone early on. And you know, as I said a couple of times, Wales will come out with all guns a-blazing in Cardiff. Now, the crowd not being there does make a bit of a difference. It's a great stadium to play in. I've played there with a full Welsh crowd. But it's not that intimidating, but it's enthralling, if you like, as a player, because it's an incredible atmosphere. The Welsh public love their rugby. There's an electric atmosphere there. There's a lot of Irish scattered around the stadium all the time. That's all gone. So the players have got to generate their own emotion here. I think the Welsh players would love to have that crowd behind them to start. But so Ireland, that negates it a little bit, the away fixture. But, you know, there's a reason why we haven't won there in the last three occasions in the Six Nations is because they've come out and they've been more physical. They've frustrated the life out of Ireland and they've performed very well. They've a lot of good players. So, you know, Ty Burnett looks like he's going to start in the second row. So there's a bit of grunt gone out of the team. Henderson hasn't played. Part of me with this Doris thing would have put Henderson into the second row. He hasn't played in a while. So that's probably the reason why it won't happen. And put Ty Burn in the back row or Rhys Ruddock at six. I think Rhys Ruddock is his form has been brilliant. So there's a lot of chopping and changing around for one player being out. Effectively, there's three new people in the 6-7-8 jersey from the last game against Scotland because Doris is out.
Obviously, Ger and Owen have created a stir across the water. Quinny, with their comments during the week about how poor Wales are. The pressure, obviously, on Andy Farrell now, right? Like, heading into game number 10, I think it is, this weekend. And, like, there's been so much chatter here about the fact that the progress maybe hasn't been as evident as we might have liked it to have been. I suppose the question I have is, like, have we seen Andy Farrell's Ireland yet? Is there another iteration to come? Are we going to see it now? And if we don't, what does it mean, I suppose, for his future?
Yeah, I think what it means, Adrian, is we've seen glimpses. I think we've certainly seen glimpses of it. The first half in Paris, we saw some more ingenuity, a little bit different from Ireland. They put the French team thinking a bit. And we're quite unlucky with the two tries that they conceded. Obviously, the game went away from them in the second half, and you know their confidence has been shot, and damaged in the last 2 years. The Autumn Nations, I think there was some very good parts in that first game against Wales, and typically an Irish team, well, we won convincingly in that game, first opening game against Wales in the Nations Cup, and we all said, well, Wales are useless, we still don't know where Ireland are. Got physically kind of dominated, not as much as the previous ones against England, and there was huge problems in the lineup, which that really cost us that performance. Georgia was terrible, and there was really positive signs against Scotland in the end. There was a big improvement. So it's kind of up and down the last 18 months. And I just think that they're trying to play a little bit differently. And the Six Nations, Adrian, isn't about throwing the ball from winger to winger to winger and going over and back. You have to play cup rugby and smart rugby. But the biggest change I'd like to see is us being way more efficient with the quality of ball when we have the ball, particularly off our scrum and our line-out. The line-out I've been harping on about this for a while. The quality of ball has to be a lot better. Our maul hasn't been effective against the opposition in a long time. The maul is such a brilliant weapon to really drain the legs out of the opposition and get a massive kind of burst of energy throughout your own team. Our maul hasn't been rumbling in a long, long time. So, it's an area that we need to get better in. And the breakdown, you go back to the Joe Schmidt era, what made us so successful in that time was how efficient Ireland were and how good they were at the breakdown. So we're not going to physically overpower teams that we play and dominate them because of size. I think the tempo, and we're only dreaming to think we can get back to where we were in 2018, but there's a template there, and a lot of these players know what collectively they have to do, and a lot of that comes down to coaching as well. There has been a number of young players introduced into the group, and that's why I was so disappointed about Doris, because I think he really could have kicked on and been a star of the Six Nations. Hopefully he'll come back pretty soon, but they've got to be far more shrewd in what they do around the breakdown as well. So I think O'Connell will add to that. He's been there, done that. He's always been raving about how he loved the detail that Joe Schmidt would give them. And I'm sure he'll try and replicate that with the players, and has done. But look, I was doing a show with Virgin Media the other day, a preview show. And Rog, I mentioned the first game. I didn't really care about performance, which is kind of a throwaway comment. Of course you want a good performance, but Ireland need to show the same desperation and emotion to win this game on Sunday, because if they start and get a win in Cardiff, which is incredibly hard to do, and I know Gerard and Owen think Wales are useless, and they've been poor in 2019, but I know myself, you kind of, that's very, very dangerous territory, and I'm sure none of the Irish players will be thinking, they know what to expect. They know that Wales are going to be rubbing their hands together here, and the results have been poor in 2020, but I guarantee you they're going to come out all guns a-blazing on Sunday. And going back to what I was saying about what Rog said, he said he wants performance, but I'd sacrifice performance on Sunday for a real roll the sleeves up, energy and tempo and aggressive type display from Ireland just to get a win, be on the front foot and be the enforcers rather than being the ones that have been bullied and frustrated by Wales.
We asked you, given what the lads were saying about how poor Wales were, we asked you to have a stab at a combined 15 of Ireland and Wales, given available players. You've gone for a 7-8 split. Some people might be surprised.
And look, just it's, again, you're putting me, making me unpopular here with players by doing this, which is... I'm not so happy to be doing that, because you're splitting hairs with some players. Yeah. If Wales beat Ireland on Sunday,
go on.
But Adrian, if Wales beat Ireland on Sunday, which they're this is a 50-50 game, which sounds good from Ireland because it's away, but it's 50-50. I can go either way.
Listen, Quinny, you listen to some pundits. You listen to some pundits, and they'd have you believe that it's going to be a cakewalk on Sunday. Take us through the team, will you? We've about two or three minutes here. Take us through the team.
Yeah. Okay. So you made me do this. I got 15 Lee Halfpenny, 14 Keith Earls, there'll be an argument for George North there, but he's been hot and cold, wonderful player. And again, someone who's caused us a lot of problems. 13, Jonathan Davies, which is Harrison and Gary Ringrose, but Davies has been on a couple of Lions tours, and there's not a lot between any of these. Robbie Hench has been playing really well at 12. Johnny Williams came in there for Wales in November, and good player as well, but I picked Henshaw. The left wing, Josh Adams has gone off the squad for breaching protocol, so it looks like Lewis Rhys Samet will start there, an incredibly exciting young Welsh player, and it looks like James Lowe will start in the left wing. You could go either way, but I'd probably pick James Lowe just for that, the way he's performed for Leinster the last couple of years. Different level international. Your man, Lewis Rhys Samet, has that a little bit more spark and probably a bit more energetic, but James Lowe has been brilliant for Leinster, so I'll pick him.
If Adams hadn't gone to his gender reveal party, Quinny, which one would you choose in one word?
Yeah, I'd be picking Adams. I think he's performed consistently. You've got to perform consistently at this level to be seen as a player who's international standard. So Lewis Rhys Samet and James Lowe, we haven't seen enough of them yet. We know there's massive potential there. Bigger Sexton. I think Wales will pick Dan Bigger. They could pick Jared Evans or Callum Sheedy, but I think they'll go back to Bigger. And then again, you're kind of splitting hairs with, you know, Bolton won the last Lions tour in New Zealand. Sexton was a starter, so you know they both had their issues and underperformed for the countries, but they have incredible potential and they've been there and done that. So I'm going to pick Sexton at nine. Thomas Williams has been brilliant for the Blues, and he's probably one bright spark for Wales in November. Incredibly dangerous. He's probably, you're splitting hairs with him and Gareth Davies for that starting spot. And of course, we know if Conor Murray performs well, Ireland will do well on Sunday. So I'm picking Thomas Williams at nine. A back row, Faletau, Tipperick and Stander. I just think it's Faletau has struggled with his form a little bit, but I just think he's too good a player to leave out, and Tipperick as well. And I can't leave Stander out either. Again, you could go for a number of different combinations there. James Ryan, Alan Wynne-Jones in the second row. And Andrew Porter, Ken Owens, and Keane Healy in the front row.
Very good. That's a tasty little back row.
Loads of people will have different opinions on it, but there's still a lot of players there that you wouldn't say are superstar international players. Wynne-Jones for Wales can be an incredibly good player, and he can go on and make a real name for himself. He's done well for Wales. Ken Owens is a big boost back for them. He's a great player. I think he's a real leader for Wales. So it's eight Irish, seven Welsh. Welsh people could say, well, it should be eight or nine Welsh and six or seven Irish. Monday morning, it'll be easy to pick this, and you hate picking it. We did this a few years ago when Ireland won a Grand Slam, and you get, it can go pear-shaped on you. But I think it's a 50-50 split there, and the matches, and it's close on the selections as well. But that'll all change Monday morning, depending who wins.
I think you've placated the Welsh nicely. Enjoy the rugby over the weekend, Quinny. Thanks a million.
Cheers. Thanks, lads.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.